What is going on, guys? Just wanted to let you know that this is, as promised, the re-upload episode. This is going to be episode 104, and this is going to be a re-upload of an episode I did previously with Zach Matthews. This one is going to be on intermittent fasting, and so I hope you all get a lot of value from this information that's going to be here. But before we get started, again, don't be afraid that if you do get some value from this episode, please, I ask that you go ahead and leave a rating and a review, as it does go a very long way. Also, sign up for the email list where you can get access to new episode releases, merch drops, upcoming events, and so, so much more. And if you feel so inclined to support your boy, please go ahead and support me on Buy Me a Coffee. All of these links will be down in the description. And now, let's get right into the episode where I'm going to do this intro yet again. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Motivate, Grind, Succeed podcast, which has the goal of improving your life in the four foundational cornerstones of faith, fellowship, fitness, and finances. Guys, do practical tips and takeaways with every single episode. Yes, every single episode. No fluff. If you're new to the show, guys, I know you're going to get a ton of value from it. And if you're returning, welcome back. I missed all of you guys. Welcome back, guys. High five. You all are back. Quick favor, though, to everyone who is listening, new or returning. If at any point in this episode you get some value, I ask that you share it with just one person. That's it. That's your homework. Just one person. So that way we can deliver all this value and all this information to anybody who needs to hear it. So with all that housekeeping out of the way, let's get right into this week's episode. And guys, I mean, I don't know if you see who we got on the show, but I mean, you should be able to see them. Obviously, you should know who this is. And if not, it's all right. I forgive you this one time. Let me introduce you all to Zach Matthews. Okay, guys, Zach is the host of the Fast and Focused podcast. He's a speaker, an online coach, and an author of his book, Climbing Your Self-Discipline Tree. The three stages essential for accomplishing any goal. He has dedicated his career to helping people unlock the benefits of intermittent fasting to achieve their long-term goals, regardless of how busy and demanding their career is. And Zach, welcome to the show. And I guarantee you, I'm going to definitely get some value from this too, because I myself am a very busy career professional myself. So I could definitely probably get some value from you on this episode. How are you doing today, good sir?
Hey, Rashawn, I'm good, my man. How are you? I appreciate you having me on the show.
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. Like I said, I just got off of work. So, you know, we had to go straight from work mode straight into podcast mode here. But, you know, we're gonna have a good time regardless, man. So I thank you very much for being able to come onto the show and being able to deliver all this wonderful value to everybody. And we're going to be definitely having a good, probably like around a good hour that we'll be able to talk to each other and be able to get some good information. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, sounds fun. Let's do it.
All right. So as we usually start off typically with every single guest, you know, we're just going to start off, you know, introduce yourself. I gave the little bit of a blurb about you, but of course, obviously only you can explain yourself the best. And so, you know, the floor is yours. You know, if you want to take the whole hour, even though I prefer not, if you want to take the whole hour and go ahead and just explain, you know, from little Zach to where you are now or wherever you want to start, just go ahead and give us a little bit of an introduction to yourself. So that way we can have a little bit more of a, oh, that's what he does. Cool. A little bit more of a of a connection there.
Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, you did a pretty good job yourself. So I commend you. That's quite the introduction. I'll try to top it. But so I basically grew up played sports in high school and college. I played lacrosse in high school and college. And so basically, I was a student athlete, you know, my entire life up until I got my first job, which was in ticket sales. And so, you know, about a year or two after I got my first job, I ended up getting my dream job with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Doing the same thing, selling tickets, selling, you know, group outings and season tickets and everything. So was really just trying to cut my teeth in that, you know, the same way that, you know, you would, you know, just trying to perfect your craft in your sport. I was doing that with the job, you know, just trying to prove myself and build my book of business. And I mean, Rashawn, I'm sure you know this, but you know, working hard for your sedentary job is not as physically exhaustive as doing it, you know, for a sport. So, you know, you're not sprinting and everything like that. You're not naturally getting exercise, you know? So long story short, you know, probably 3-4 months into the job with the Bucks, I realized that I gained a ton of, I like to say that I wasn't in shape anymore. I was a shape. And so, you know, I tried to look for a solution. You know, I tried every workout fad there was, every hot diet at the time. You know, my wife and I, we probably spent hundreds of dollars on different programs and None of them just none of them stuck, you know, none of them lined up with what I was doing with the Bucks. You know, they're pretty unrealistic for those of us that have like a 9-to-5. And so anyways, so, you know, my sales manager, he was telling me that, you know, he was doing this intermittent fasting thing. I was like, that sounds interesting. Sounds easy enough. I'll look into that after work. And long story short, I stayed up that entire night learning everything I could about it, tried it the next day. And then 3 months later, I lost 20 pounds. So that's kind of my story. That was 5 years ago. Yeah, that was 5 years ago. I've been fasting ever since. Obviously, you know, the intermittent fasting's changed a little bit because once you hit your weight loss goal, then all you have to do is kind of maintain it. So it gets easier. But yeah, been going for 5 years. And honestly, man, you know, I just kept running into people that were asking about it. And I had a sales background. I'd always wanted to start my own thing, just didn't know what that would be. But other than my marriage with my wife, intermittent fasting is probably the longest commitment I've had in my life. So I, you know, 5 years running, I mean, that seems significant. And people just kept asking about it. You know, how do you work out? You know, when you intermittent fast, what do you do? How much do you eat? You know, what do you eat? So I just kept telling my wife, I was like, I think there's a business around this. And so about 3-4 months ago now, I decided, you know, me and my wife decided I was going to quit my full-time job and pursue this full-time. And now here I am talking to you.
Wow, man. Great story. Absolutely love it. Wow. And now I was really interested to bring you on the show because I too was into that phase when I was in college and I was just like, man, I kind of want to lose a little bit of weight because I was kind of like a little more of a chunky kid kind of growing up in high school. So I was like college, you know, I'll try out these different diets, these different programs, and nothing really fit. And right. What was ironic was that what ended up working for me was intermittent fasting. But the funny thing was I was doing intermittent fasting before I knew what intermittent fasting was.
Yeah.
So I would end up actually like eating, like not eating breakfast, sometimes not even eating lunch. And like the only food I would eat all day is dinner because I was literally so busy throughout all that time. And because I was walking so much in college, the weight just literally just like almost fell off after a while. Now, precursor, I don't recommend doing that because I was eating an average of maybe 700 to 800 calories a day. I do not recommend doing that. However, if you intermittent fast correctly, as you see with Zach here, it can be absolutely wonderful for your health and for weight loss and for all those great things. So with that, let's start getting to some of the questions that I had and I wanted to ask you today. So let's start with a solid baseline, right? Like your wonderful example of a story and my horrible example of intermittent fasting at the start. Let's get a solid baseline, right? So what is intermittent fasting and is it actually beneficial? We kind of already know the answer to that. Or is it just some new overhyped fad? So let's get a understanding of what intermittent fasting is.
Yeah. So intermittent fasting is basically, you know, it's whether it's in a 24-hour period or, you know, just the entire week, you would select different phases of the day or the week to fast, which means not consume any calories, or, you know, what we call non-fast, which is eating. So, you know, there are a couple different methods for doing that. The one that I did and the one I recommend to my clients is what's called a 16-8 method. And that's probably the most common one that you'll see. Basically the 16-8, it means that you're fasting for 16 hours every day. And then you've just got an 8-hour eating window to consume all your calories. So that's what intermittent fasting is. To answer your question, yes, it is very beneficial. There's numerous health benefits, not just weight loss. So it can actually help you shred fat, which I guess is a little more of the weight loss benefit, you know, but it can help you kind of maintain the muscle while you shred the fat, which is what we're all kind of hoping to accomplish. You know, it gives you more consistent energy levels because you're not going through those peaks and valleys of the usual person's consumption of it, you know, eating. And therefore, you know, you have like these mountains of energy and then it kind of plummets. And so, you know, people are quick to blame coffee for the 2 o'clock, you know, slump, but it's actually our eating habits that is causing that. You know, you're also going to notice more brain cognition, which means more focus and better memory. And then it can also help with like things like inflammation and things along those lines as well. So it can help prevent injuries and numerous other things as well. So
absolutely great. And of course, you know, I don't want to leave it there either, so the follow-up question would be then, I mean, it's probably a little bit more off the top of your head here, but what would be some of the downsides of intermittent fasting? Because I mean, let's be honest, everything on the websites, social media, YouTube, whatever you want to call it, everything always wants to hype the positives, right? And again, I'm a proponent of intermittent fasting myself, as I still do it to today, right? And it helps a lot with, especially with my fitness goals and everything that I have going on. So it definitely helps a lot with that. But of course, there has to be some negative sides to it. So what are some of the cons that you can think of that would probably go along with intermittent fasting?
Yeah. I think it's just the misconception of it. You know, people, like you said, you know, you see it all over the internet as a fad diet thing, like this cure all, you know, like as if it was the only thing you have to do to lose weight and get the body that you want. And that is not the case. You know, as with anything else, you know, when it comes to weight loss, there are numerous factors. There are some things that are just inescapable. If you want to lose weight, you've got to watch your caloric intake. You know, that doesn't change no matter what fad diet you do. You know, if you want to gain more muscle and shred more fat, then you have to consume more protein and more fats and lower your carb intake. So I guess, you know, to answer your question, the negative of intermittent fasting would just be the misunderstanding that it's the only thing you need to do. And that can be further from the truth. I mean, I always say that, you know, it's kind of a mixture here at Fast and Focus. It's a mixture of just balancing a healthier lifestyle, which means your nutrition, which is probably 95% of the whole thing, working out, and then fasting as well. But fasting, you know, in my eyes is more of a foundation. You know, it's not, it just kind of helps. I mean, I don't know about you, but with the demanding career I have, you know, it's easier for me to think about my caloric intake and trying to stay closer to that if I only have to worry about it 8 hours a day. You know what I mean? Whereas the usual Americans worrying about, you know, breakfast before they get the kids out of bed, or, you know, trying to scramble to feed the whole family before they rush out the door to get to their job. You know, it's one less thing you have to worry about. You know, I'm trying to think of anything else negative. I swear I'm not just, you know, I'm not biased here. The only other negative I can think of is maybe just the, I mean, if you're not careful, and I should say there are some people that shouldn't do intermittent fasting. So, you know, if you're pregnant or you're breastfeeding, you shouldn't. You know, if you're 18, if you're under the age of 18, you shouldn't. And then if you're diabetic, you probably should. Some people say you can, but I would just consult your physician to see. But that's the thing. It's just, you know, making sure that you have the right information before you try it, because then you get into the people that say, you know, they've tried intermittent fasting and didn't see the results they want. Well, they probably didn't have all the information that they needed to do it, you know, and see and kind of set themselves up for success.
Right. I would even add to that one of the hardest parts of intermittent fasting is actually starting, because it's actually, for most people, it's going to be a change of lifestyle, right? Like I remember the first day when I found out about intermittent fasting and actually started doing it healthily. I went weeks, months just eating my three meals a day. And then next thing you know, because you get into that routine. And so your stomach and then your brain starts getting to the routine of, okay, I wake up, I'm going to eat within like an hour or two of waking up. Then next thing you know, because when I do the 16-8, right, I'm just going based off of my schedule. My eating window is from 12 to 8. And so 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. And so that means now I'm not eating breakfast. So when I first started and I woke up around like maybe 7 o'clock in the morning, usually I would be eating breakfast by like 8:30. I wasn't. So I was very hungry. Okay, guys, you're not going to just flip a switch and be like, all right, cool, I'm not hungry at all. No. You probably will be hungry for the first couple of days. Maybe I'm going to be honest, maybe even up to a week. For me, it was up to like a week. But after that first week, it became much easier to then go ahead and stick with it, because at that point you feel your body begins to adjust, which is why the human body is amazing. It just adapts so well, and it adapts to, okay, we're not getting food right now, but we'll get food later. And so you're able to like shut down that bit of you being hungry. And then you can actually focus on, like you said before, Zach, like, you know, me focusing on me just getting out the house, getting to work, and then there we go, we're done. Right.
Yeah.
I can focus on just doing that instead of focusing on trying to make some breakfast before I get out the door.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just add two things there. First, you know, you put it perfectly. I mean, I think it is a shock at first. And I would like to tell you that I never get tempted to break my fast, you know, before noon comes around, but I do. I still have that some days. You know, it does become easier to just tell yourself, hey, You know, you've done this before, just hold off an hour or two. I like to call it the final countdown, which is generally around that 2 hour, 1 hour left window. That's when it's the hardest. And that's with any duration of fast. I found that to be true, you know, with my 16 hour fast, which I do every day, but I've also done 24 hour fast, and it's the same thing. You know, it's not hard until the last hour or two. And then you're kind of watching the clock and thinking, like, you know, how long, how many minutes in an hour? You know what I mean? You know, so that's one thing to, and that's a great point that you just made. And the other thing is just, I think people really do underestimate how just well-oiled of a machine the human body really is. You know, it's incredible. I mean, when you think back to it, like our ancestors, you know, back to the days of Adam and Eve, you know, they had to hunt for their meals. You know, they didn't have fridges full of, you know, and freezers full of food ready to be picked and cooked. You know, they had to hunt for their meals. And so sometimes they go days without, you know, eating at all, and their bodies had to adapt to that. So their bodies are the same as ours, last I checked, and with some evolution, obviously, some growth and advancement, but it's still the same. Your body will adjust. And the benefit of it is that, you know, it kind of gets into, not to get too, you know, sciencey here, but then you're really getting into like the ketosis, which is when your body eats the fat that's stored in your body, not just, you know, using the food that you're consuming to create energy. So yeah, I mean, I look at intermittent fasting as a great way to just push the boundaries of what to kind of see what your body's capable of. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Yeah, and don't be afraid about getting a little too sciencey here. You know, it's just, I mean, naturally, I'm more of like a sciencey engineering-y person. I mean, you can kind of tell by the hat too. Like, I'm kind of that person myself. So if you get a little nerdy, that's quite all right. But yeah, that's good. And then speaking of lifestyle, I know you talked about lifestyle. You brought it up. That's two things I actually wanted to piggyback on too. That number one is that intermittent fasting is not a fad. Just like fitness, it cannot be a fad. Anything new that you want to start and do habitually cannot be a fad. This has to be a lifestyle. You have to make it a point to actually incorporate this into your life day to day to day. And I love how you were kind of, I guess, want to put like vulnerable, I guess, there, Zach, and said that some days, even though you've been doing this for so long, that you still have those days where you're tempted to eat before the time is actually right? Like, because there have been so many different kind of intermittent fasting things that I've seen. I've seen like 16-8, I've seen 14-10, I've seen people say eat for 2 days and fast for one. I think you alluded to that in the 24 hour. There are so many different kinds of intermittent fasting. Yeah. But the point is to pick one and then stick with it. Because if you just hop, you're not going to have enough time to dictate whether this will actually work or not for you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so the second thing that I also want to get into, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
No, nope. You're killing it.
All right. And then the second thing that I wanted to talk about with lifestyle is that, you know, we all have different lifestyles, right? Like some people are 9-to-5ers. Hello.
Right.
And so some people are, you know, they're a lot more career oriented. Some people are a lot more, they're more entrepreneurial, whatever your lifestyle may be. Right. Intermittent fasting and your career. Let's say, for example, right, because a lot of people listening to this are usually tend to be more career oriented. Right. On the surface, these don't sound very related whatsoever. We've been kind of hinting at it a little bit throughout our conversation. But yet intermittent fasting, you said, can help us in our career. So I know we've talked about a couple points about it already. But if you can give any more information, too, as to how intermittent fasting can help us in our career, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, like I said, it's perfect for laying a foundation when you want to, you know, lose weight or just get the benefits. So, and I'll talk about that in a moment, how that can help your career. But basically the biggest benefit that I've found, and I was a 9-to-5er too, still kind of, but it's just how well it fits with, you know, the time that you spend at work. I mean, ideally, you know, let's say we're talking to your boss here, you know, and you're asking him or her, you know, what's your ideal day for Rashawn when he goes in to work? You know, he or she would probably say something along the lines of, well, you know, I really want him to get in, be ready to go to work, be productive the first couple hours, not just sit around, wait till lunch, you know, and I really want him to be able to be consistent throughout the day. Well, you know, for the typical person, that's not ideal. I mean, you know, you think about it, you're putting food in your belly first thing in the morning. So then you're driving to work, and so that you're feeling all kind of warm in the car. You're getting a little fatigued before you've had your morning cup of joe, and not setting it up well for the first half of the day, you know, and then you're kind of watching the clock because your body has already ingested the food that you provided it that morning. So it's like, okay, where's more of that, you know? Whereas on the opposite side of it, you know, if you're training your body like, hey, I'm going to feed you when I'm going to feed you, you just got to like make do with what you have until I do. Then your body's just, you know, it creates this consistent flow of energy that you can use throughout your morning. Plus the typical 16-8 intermittent fasting method, it just lines up perfectly with your lunch break. I mean, most of us take our lunch break around noon or 1 o'clock. I mean, Rashawn, when do you take your lunch break every day?
Right, exactly. Then usually between 12 and 1 is when I'll usually go and have lunch.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when you think about the 16-8 fast, you talked about it earlier, your eating window is from noon to 8. So you're breaking your fast around noon when the lunch break is happening anyways. Why not just hold off until, you know, the lunch break and give yourself that extra burst of energy, and plus the weight loss benefits that we talked about. And then as far as how it can benefit your career, it's just one thing. I keep saying this, but it's one less thing that you have to worry about. I mean, if you're thinking like me, when I'm sitting behind the desk and I'm trying to make sales calls or I'm trying to get a project done, the last thing that I want is one more thing that I got to worry about. And before I found intermittent fasting, one of the biggest hurdles that I had was, you know, when I was coming out of like a meeting and I felt hungry coming out of a meeting, because that's when, in my mind, you're most vulnerable. You know, it's around that like 5 to 15 minute-ish break that you're taking to go to the bathroom or anything like that. Oh, what's that? The vending machine's right next to the bathroom. Well, let me just grab a snack while I'm here. I'm hungry anyways. I'll just get the pistachios. Those are somewhat healthy. And then you go for them. Oh, they're a dollar. The chips are only 50 cents. Maybe I'll just go for them instead. You know, and then they're tastier anyway. Yep. They won't do much damage. And then, you know, that becomes a daily habit. So it's just being more conscientious, and intermittent fasting can help you kind of, you know, hone it in.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. There have been many times when I walked past 1, 2, or 5 vending machines, I'm just like, oh, look, Doritos. And I just be like, oh, okay, cool. And I'm telling you, man, I feel like they put some kind of thing in there. I know it's probably just sugar, but it's something else that they put in there that just makes you keep coming back for those things. And the sad thing is, once you get into that habit of eating those things just consistently, you'll notice, as I said before, when you get used to intermittent fasting, you'll also notice that you begin to get hungry around a certain time. So if you keep eating around, let's say you eat around 10 a.m., you'll notice you would kind of tend to get hungry around 10 a.m. roughly.
Yeah.
If you keep your schedule roughly the same, because that's what your body is accustomed to. And so thanks for touching on all those things too, because I know definitely I can attest to when I intermittent fast in the morning, and I wake up and I drive off to work, and then I get to work and I'm having my meetings and everything, I'm not really focused on food. I mean, yes, I'll still get the occasional hunger pang in the morning, but
sure.
Well, by the time I get to work, it's pretty much good. And I already getting into the routine of working and doing what I got to do. As you said, that consistent level of energy is right there. And it's just always there. I don't feel like I have a desperate need to go get food. I don't feel like I have a desperate need to go do anything. Maybe drink some water or something, but that's literally about it. And I don't really have the craving for food. And what's funny, actually, too, that sometimes I have to actually remind myself to eat, because sometimes I'll get so into the zone, I'll even forget, like, oh, man, it's lunchtime. I'm not even hungry right now, but I have to go eat now. And so then once you eat, then it starts up that cycle, and then you're back into your 8-hour period. So,
yeah. Yeah. The only other thing I want to point out, because you reminded me of it when you mentioned water. For those of you that love coffee, you love tea, you know, you don't feel like you can go your mornings without it, I'm not asking you to get rid of it. Now, if you're going to fast until noon, then you want to make sure whatever you consume is non-caloric. So that can be water, coffee, and tea, but coffee and tea can't have the extra additives. So no cream, no sugar. And the reason for that is because cream and sugar breaks your, you know, so that it really starts to spike your glycogen levels. So then you're not getting the weight loss benefits that we're looking for. Then you will notice that your body's like, all right, well, here comes that sugar. So where's the rest of it? You know what I mean? Whereas if you're just taking coffee, taking tea without the additives, then It'll provide you with that boosted caffeine that we're all looking for and that your body may be used to. If you're anything like me, it is, without all the harmful additives inside. And you can like once you start your fast, I mean, ideally you would, you know, get to a place where you don't need like that cream and sugar anymore. But if you still want to have like a cup of coffee with cream and sugar every day, just wait till your fast or wait till your eating window to do it. And then you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know. Cause I'm a big person who likes to drink coffee with cream and then sugar and all that good stuff in it. So that was one of the things that I realized, well, I'm going to have to get rid of that because I am not a black coffee drinker whatsoever. So I'm just like, well, I got to replace it with something. So I replaced it with black tea. And like I said before, I also replaced it with water. And so once you get used to doing that, then you're usually, for me, at least, like I said, after you get past that week,
yeah,
usually pretty good to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so kind of with that as well, you know, we talked about how it can be incorporated into your career, how it can help you in terms of like getting ready in the morning, giving you that consistent energy level. Now for people who are more interested in, okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, I could do that, but like, what about my weight loss? Like, I mean, like how fast am I going to see weight loss? Like, how is it going to help me with weight loss? And for some people, I know this is one question that I had before I became a little more knowledgeable of intermittent fasting. At first, when I started it, I thought, okay, well, if I'm skipping an entire meal a day, okay, cool. But now it means I'm only eating probably two meals a day. So right. How am I still supposed to hit my BMR or basal metabolic rate or for like the baseline amount of calories you should be eating if I'm completely omitting a meal, right? Or how am I supposed to be like in a healthy caloric deficit if I'm completely omitting a meal, right? So that was one of the questions that I had for that. And just more general, I mean, we already talked about how it can help us reach our weight loss goal, but let's start with the first one of like how you're able to reach your goal of maybe, I don't know, what, maybe 200 to 300 calorie deficit or so if you're completely skipping a meal.
Yeah. So I for my clients specifically, I recommend shooting for 500 calories below your basal metabolic rate, like you just touched on. The reason for that is because that does give us some wiggle room. So, you know, if they do go like 100 calories over per se, or even 200 calories over, you know, the caloric deficit target, then, you know, we're still good. I mean, we're still, you know, kind of chipping away at that because as you probably know, you know, you need to burn 3,500 calories. You need to burn 3,500 more calories than you consume to lose a pound of weight. So, you know, for the listeners that are asking, how am I going to lose weight with this? How fast can I, you know, lose weight with this? That kind of depends on how you approach it. So, you know, research has shown that a healthy weight loss, like a consistent weight loss, would be anywhere between like a pound or like a pound and a half a week. You can lose 2 pounds a week and still, you know, be in a healthy diet, but, you know, that's a rare case scenario. We certainly don't want to expect that going into the week, you know? So that's kind of what you can expect there. You know, I always give people the target of like losing 20 pounds in 90 days, you know, because that's a kind of a lofty ish goal, but somewhat in the realm of possibility, you know, and we can get into, you know, different things like, you know, if you're building muscle, then, you know, you're probably not going to lose 20 pounds because muscle weighs more than fat. And, you know, as you lose fat, your muscle weight goes up, you know, but anyways. I kind of got off track. What was the other question I was answering? Oh, how to consume.
Yeah, that was
how to consume all the calories in like an 8 hour window.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's also a good question because you want to, you know, that's something I haven't mentioned yet. You kind of want to avoid like the processed foods, except for when you're doing like a cheat meal or a cheat day, because people might not realize this, but, and you know, we're kind of taught to think the opposite, but processed foods are typically actually less dense in calories than like a whole food meal if you're doing it right. And so when we switch our focus to consuming whole foods and putting more protein on our plate and less carbs, then naturally the meals that we consume in our 8 hour window are going to be heavier in the calories than what the typical American meal would, if that makes sense. So that way you're also getting a good macronutrient breakdown, which would, again, helps with shredding fat and maintaining your muscle mass, if not building it a little bit, which is possible, you know, while you lose weight. It's just all about, to answer the first question, I mean, it's all about what you're willing to sacrifice and what you're willing to pay attention to in order to lose the weight you want and get the leaner physique that you hope for.
Absolutely. It's funny. It just reminds me, it's like, as my sister calls it, she calls it the movie popcorn effect, which is kind of funny. She calls it the movie popcorn effect. And what that means, I don't even know that's an actual thing, but I thought it was great. So she said the movie popcorn effect is that when you go to a movie theater and you get yourself that nice big old tub of popcorn, right? The butter and everything on there, right? And you're just going to the movie theater and you start eating it. You're just like, this isn't really that good. But I mean, I don't know what it is, but I just can't stop eating it. And the next thing you know, by the time the 20 minutes of pre-screening and all this stuff before the movie starts, oh, you already went through the entire tub of popcorn and you didn't realize that was like 1500 calories, mm-hmm. but you don't feel full.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the processed food right there for you. Versus if you eat something that's hearty, that's something that's healthy, right? You follow the food plates or whatever scenario you want to follow. If you want to follow the macronutrients of getting your proteins, carbs and healthy fats and everything on the plate, whatever it is that you guys want to follow to get your macros and your micronutrients in. When you eat something like that, you'll realize, oh man, I ate maybe 600-700 calories in that meal. And yet I feel completely, completely satiated. Like I feel good. I feel like I could tackle the world for the next like 6 hours until I have to eat again.
Right.
Definitely eating those healthy foods is absolutely 100% important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I recommend that people break their fast with the biggest meal of the day. There's research that backs that up. So typically, I mean, they show that your body's digestive system is best in line with its circadian rhythm, which basically means that your body's in tune with when the sun rises and sun sets. So all that to say that when you consume it shows that because that's the case, you want to, your body responds best to digesting a big hearty meal between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. every day. And since, you know, you and I fast until noon, that means that we're breaking our fast ideally smack dab in the middle of that. So if lunch is the biggest meal of the day, then our body just naturally has the best ability to, you know, break down the macronutrients that you're intaking and use that and storing it for protein synthesis and all that. It's even more of a well-oiled machine if you, you know, give it the bulk, which is around like 800 to 900 calories during lunch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good points, man. Good points. That leads me to another question that I had too, is that, you know, we're giving about all these wonderful tips and all everything, and you're bestowing such wonderful knowledge. And thank you so much for all this great, fantastic knowledge that you're giving us about intermittent fasting. Now, this is for people who maybe have not heard of it or anything, maybe they haven't done a lot of research on it, you know, more of the newbies into intermittent fasting.
Sure.
What are some of the most common mistakes that you see people making, and how are we going to go about avoiding them? Right? Because you've done intermittent fasting, so you probably have done some of the mistakes. I've probably done some of the mistakes. You work with people and teach them how to do intermittent fasting. So what are some of the mistakes that you see people make a lot, and what can we do to avoid them?
Yeah. So there's a couple. Great question, by the way. So the first one would be just not having a health goal in mind. So, you know, if you tell yourself, I'm going to try this intermittent fasting thing to lose weight, but you never really tell yourself like what success looks like for you, then how do you know when you get there? You know what I mean? And it's not likely that you're going to stay committed to it because you don't really have anything that you're working. So I always tell people, I tell my clients and those that just ask in general, you know, give your goal a number. You know, if you're doing it to lose weight, then provide yourself a little accountability, a little tough love, and tell yourself, hey, you know, this is the number of pounds that I'm hoping to lose, and this is the date I'm hoping to lose it by. And that alone is going to give you some inspiration to, you know, try this thing and stick with it, because, you know, you told yourself in your mind, hey, I told myself that, you know, by the time that beach vacation rolled around, I was going to be 20 pounds lighter. You know, so it's just that extra, you know, little internal inspiration that we can all use. I mean, you and I have been there certainly. So, you know, so that's one mistake that I see people make, is just not having goals. And the second one is just not understanding that they need to track caloric deficit, like you and I have talked about a couple times already. You know, there's a saying out there that says, you know, measurement, you know, if it's not measured, then it's not accomplished. And so for those of you that need a resource, and you do not have to calculate this by hand. If you had to do that, then I probably would have never figured it out. But you can go to, and this is completely free, you can go to tdeecalculator.net, And that stands for total daily energy expenditure. And you just enter in, you know, your height, your age, your weight, you know, it asks for body fat percentage, but that's not mandatory. And then it asks you like what kind of job or lifestyle you have, which for 99% of us is a sedentary job. But then once you enter in all that information, you click submit and it'll give you your maintenance calories, your basal metabolic rate, but it'll also give you your target caloric intake as well. And the macronutrient breakdown, if you want to get that specific with it. So that alone gives you all the information that you need to try intermittent fasting and, you know, see success with it. So, you know, that's another mistake that's easily correctable. If people just give like a, you know, 3 minutes of their time and go to TDEEcalculator.net. The last one would just be, I think, communication. Most of us have, I'm going to say all of us have tried to lose weight before and fallen short. You know, we've all failed in that arena. I myself did it several times, like I mentioned earlier. And because that happens, we're afraid to share our goals with other people. You know, we're kind of like, I'll give you an example, you know, so, you know, if you want to lose like 10 pounds, let's say, but you know, you've told your wife a few times that you wanted to lose 10 pounds and you never did, then it's going to get harder and harder to tell her, you know what, honey, I'm going to get serious about it this time. I'm going to lose 10 pounds this time. You know what I mean? It gets harder and harder to tell her that, but that's an important component to it. You know, I had a client that was telling me that, you know, he hadn't told his wife yet. And I was like, that needs to be the next thing that you do, because not only is it going to provide you with just an extra oomph in your efforts internally, but it's also going to give you that tough love, that motivation that you need, and the accountability that you need outside of it. Because I mean, you know this, you know, any journey, any goal that you're working towards, there are days you wake up and you don't want to do it. You know what I mean? And there are days you're going to step on that scale and you're not going to lose as you're not going to have lost as much weight as you were hoping, or because weight fluctuates so much, you know, it's going to be like 1 pound heavier than it was, even though there's so many variables that go into that. I won't get started on that, but you know, I recommend that people only weigh themselves once a week. But yeah, just, you know, to answer your question, and I'm sorry I got long-winded, but you know, the three biggest mistakes I see are just not having health goals, not tracking their caloric deficit or finding out what their caloric deficit is in the first place. And then the third one, and maybe the most important, is just not communicating that to their goals to other people, because if it's inside and it never really, you don't really speak it out to the world, and that's not just with fitness, that's with anything, it's very unlikely that it gets accomplished.
Absolutely. Love those. I know a big thing for me, I love how you touched on accountability, because we talk about that a lot on the show as well, about accountability. I talk about accountability partners and I love how the accountability point that you brought up and the communication, they kind of go hand in hand right there, right? Like, as long as you communicate with somebody, hey, I want to do this. I want to lose 10 pounds in the next, how's the math work? Let's say 3 months, right? I want to lose 10 pounds the next 3 months. You tell somebody that, and then what I always talk about on the show and other episodes is this, is let's say you tell your best friend, look, Billy, I want to lose 10 pounds in the next 3 months. And if I don't do that and give you a consistent update, I have to Venmo you $100. That's going to light a fire under somebody right there. That's going to make you definitely lose that weight, because you don't want to lose. I don't care how rich you are. $100 is still quite a bit of money. I know for some of those funny like YouTube videos I see, it's like, you know how many McChickens that can buy? Now, I'm not saying go eat McChickens now, but what I'm saying, like, that can buy a lot of stuff for $100. So definitely the accountability, I definitely love that too. And the TDEE, that website I actually have never heard of, but it did remind me of a thing that I wanted to follow up on with that. And that is that after you get that information from that website, after you find out what those numbers are, then you're going to have to find some way to track it, right? Like you say, if it's not measured, how do you know that you're getting there? And so the second thing that I wanted to, I'm pretty sure that you probably already know about possibly, it's MyFitnessPal, right? It's a completely free application, has a premium plan as well, but you know, for our purposes, we don't really need to use the premium plan, because for the free plan, it's pretty much all that you really need. All you're literally going to do is you're going to hop in, you're going to have different options, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, right? You go in and it's super, super convenient, super, super easy to use. Just go in. Let's say you click lunch, right? Because we're intermittent fasting breakfast, let's say, right? So breakfast, you're going to skip the meal, go straight to lunch. And what did you have for lunch? So you had a sandwich, okay? Just nice sandwich. You got to go on your phone, type in Sara Lee bread or wheat bread or whatever bread that you had. You're going to go in there, you're going to click it, and you're going to put how much of it did you eat? One slice, two slices, whatever. You got to put whatever meat, whatever cheese, whatever you put on the sandwich, you're going to put it all in there. And then the very, 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 very important thing that I do want to emphasize with that is that you want to jot down and you want to track everything. You're probably already thinking, well, I already am tracking everything. I put the sandwich in there. I put the soda in there. What else do you want me to track? Even the condiments, because that was one thing that I definitely missed. And yes, because it's the condiments that are going to get you. It's definitely those, just the little things that you're going to miss. You know, that little tablespoon of ketchup, that's like 20 calories right there. And now 20 calories by itself is not a lot, but a lot of 20 calories is going to add up to you not meeting that goal. So every little bit counts. Every little bit counts. So definitely, I'm pretty sure you've heard of MyFitnessPal before, Zach. And so I'm pretty sure that's definitely an important tool for people to go ahead and be able to use out there. The TDEE and MyFitnessPal combine those things. Boom, like magic. I guarantee you, use those two tools, you're gonna be good to go. Have you ever used MyFitnessPal before, Zach? I'm pretty sure that you probably have before too.
I've used that before. I have a Fitbit, so the Fitbit app has something similar to it now, so that's what I use. But the nicest thing to me, the most convenient thing about those things to me, is that it has like a barcode where you can just scan the barcode of whatever you're eating. And it automatically has like those calories and macros and everything entered in for you. So just one less thing that you have to worry about again. I'm all about streamlining over here, if you can't tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Wait, on the Fitbit, it does that?
Yeah, it does. Yep. If you go up to like where you're going to enter in like your food, there's like a little barcode looking logo at the top right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got you.
Click that. And it'll ask you to scan the barcode and then you're good to go.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And unfortunately, there is some bad news about that barcode scanner in MyFitnessPal. Have you heard about it?
No.
They are unfortunately moving that to the paid plan. So now you have to pay to have to use the Yes, I know. I remember getting an email and they said, it's just the typical jargon of, it saddened us to say this, but you know, unfortunately, we're going to be the barcode scanner to our premium. Yeah, I was like, okay, guys, really? Everybody use that. Now you just move it over there. Really? Come on now. But yeah, so if you really, really want that barcode scanner application, then sure, go ahead, pay for the software. And hey, if you pay for the software, maybe that might enforce you to saying, hey, I'm paying for it. So now maybe now I'm paying for it. Now I have to use it. I don't know. That could be you. But personally, I just stick to the free one and just make it more of a habit to just make it a point to say, okay, I have the food, and the best time to do it is before you eat, because after you eat, you're going to be like, man, that was good food. I got stuff to do. No.
Yeah.
Before you even do that, you see the food, you can take a picture of it. Then that's when you put in before you start eating.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation for that as well.
Yeah. No, I have a good solution for that as well. And it's kind of boring, but this is what I do. I try to hold eating the same thing around the same times every day. And then the old algorithm there on MyFitnessPal or Fitbit or whatever you use, it just says, hey, it's 12 o'clock. You're probably eating this, aren't you? And then you just kind of check it and on with your day. So, I mean, if you're doing different things every day, I get that you would try to want to mix it up, but you're just going to have to search for a bunch of different things all the time. And, you know, the calorie intakes and macros are going to fluctuate with it. Whereas you just make a plan, you say, okay, this is how many macros I'm shooting for. I can eat this, this, and this, and that'll do it for me. Just makes the day all the easier. But do whatever whatever you look forward to. I mean, that's the most important part.
Exactly right. Exactly. And I'm all for streamlining too. Maybe I'm a little too streamlined in that I like to eat the same thing almost every single day. But hey, I save that as a meal in MyFitnessPal. And when lunchtime comes around, I just go click, click. Okay, there they go. They're in. Done.
Yep.
Easy. Absolutely easy. So Zach, we are reaching the end of the episode here, but I have to ask you two more questions that I ask every single guest that comes on the show at the very end. Okay. So here we go. Question number one. Let's say, right now, there is someone who's been listening to us for this past 40 or 50 minutes or so, and they are just going like, man, I didn't pay attention to a single word that those guys just talked about. In fact, I just woke up from a nap because their voices were so serenading. I mean, I appreciate the compliment that my voice is, and Zach's voice is
serenading. Someone out there is saying that. Yeah.
But I appreciate all that. But guys, I mean, guys, you just got to rewind and listen to it. But let's say you're too lazy to do that. I got you. Zach, if you could give us one piece of advice that you'd want everybody to leave this episode with, the floor is yours to give that one piece of advice that if they weren't paying attention to the entire episode, this is the one thing that you'd want them to walk away with.
Yeah, well, I'll do 1A and 1B then. First thing is just establish health goals, you know, intermittent fasting or not, you know, weight loss or not, whatever it is, just establish health goals, you know, and put a number to it. Put a number to it and put a date on it and, you know, hold yourself to it, you know, and then, you know, the second part of that would just be tell someone else, you know, like we talked about earlier, which in this scenario, they weren't listening, but you know, we kind of talked about finding someone that'll give you that tough love where you just, you know, you kind of put that goal out there, maybe even put some money behind it, some skin of the game, if you will, and give yourself that extra accountability. It goes a long way.
Absolutely. Accountability, communication, putting it out there definitely goes a long way. And the second question is, where can people find you? I mean, I know I said in the beginning, you're a podcast host yourself. You're an online coach. You're an author. You basically are right next to Elon Musk up there in popularity at this point. Between stuff that you've been doing. So,
right.
So where can people go online to find you, find out more information about you and what it is that you do?
Yeah, the easiest place would just be my website, which is fastinfocus.com. That's a fast, the letter in as in nutrition. focus.com. You know, that's my website. They can actually even scroll down to the bottom of the home page there and get a free copy of my ebook. It's called How to Start Intermittent Fasting Today. So if you guys are interested in learning more about where to start with intermittent fasting, I've got that ebook. Will give you three simple steps that you can do. And like I said, it's absolutely free. So you can get that by just going to fastinfocus.com and scrolling all the way to the bottom. You'll see it. It's in a big picture. You can't miss it. And then the second part would just be my podcast, which is Fast and Focus. It's Fast&Focus. It's available on all major podcast platforms. And basically it's just every week I either have a guest on or I answer a pretty common question about intermittent fasting. For example, this last week, I just answered the question of how do you work out while intermittent fasting? So, you know, if you guys want to learn more about that, then check that podcast out, Fast and Focus.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to add that podcast to some of my favorites and definitely give it a listen, because that question right there was one that I definitely had for a while. It's like, how do you work out and how do you do that? Now I know the answer and I'm not going to spoil it because I want you guys to go listen to that episode.
Love it.
With all that, guys, thank you so much, Zach, for coming on the show. Thank you so much for bestowing all this wonderful knowledge and wisdom. And thank you, you listeners, you lovely listeners on the other side of the screen or listening to us through your headphones, earbuds, whatever you're listening to. Thank you so much for listening to the episode, because we're going to close it out now, guys. Thank you so much once again for coming on and listening to the show, guys. But before you go, I do have two quick requests for you. Number one, subscribe or follow to the show if you got some value out of it, right? I'm not sure which platform you're listening on, whether Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, all the whole shebang, right? Just subscribe or follow, because we post new episodes every single week, just like this one. And number two, follow me on social media as well. All the links will be down in this episode's description, or if you're watching on YouTube, it'll be in this video's description, guys. Thank you guys once again for coming on and listening to us. Take care, and I will see you guys next time. Take care.